Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, a first-time guest on The Mary Griffith Show, Marcella Barroja. He's the Operations and Marketing Director for the Quincy Park District, one of the great people employed by your tax dollars to make sure that everyone in our community, from birth to death, has recreational opportunities. Welcome, Marcel.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, it is so great to have you here. And also, this show is sponsored each and every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And I know that Pepsi is a huge partner with the Park District, so we share that in common. Anytime you need anything, Pepsi's always there, aren't they?
That's correct.
Yeah, they are fantastic partners to work with. We're also going to say good morning to Dr. Jim Daniels. He's the Medical Director of Adams and Pike County Health Departments, and he's also a professor of medicine at SIU. Good morning.
Hi, Mary. How are you today?
I am good. You're looking well, my good man. And the good news is you should be looking well, because what we're going to talk about today is forest therapy. This is a brand new park on the Nature Trails East. And a lot of people, I don't even think, know where Nature Trails East is. I don't think they understand what Nature Trails East is, so that's why we're going to educate everybody today with a forest therapy park. So, first let's talk about the Nature Trails development. Marcelo, let's start with you. The Nature Trails, is it an extension of the walkway there, or is it something separate?
The Nature Trail East is going to be an extension of Bill Klinger Trail.
Bill Klinger Cedar Park, yeah. Cedar Creek Linear Parkway.
So
okay.
When you're on 24th Street at the trailhead there, Nature Trail East continues that going east.
Mm-hmm.
But right now they're not connected. So we're waiting for programs to come through, grants and whatnot. We're working together with the Friends of the Trails for do their projects. But in the meantime, instead of have 15 acres of land completely empty and unused, we decided to develop it as a nature trails. And then it's been really successful with the help of community volunteers, staff members, and just collaborating with many affiliates in the community. We have up to about 2,000 volunteers a year that's helping us with this. And it's been an amazing development for the last 4 years. Right now, with this being said, we got a collaboration with Mr. Daniels here, and we decided to certify those 15 acres of land as a forest therapy park, which is a big deal. It's going to help a lot of people. We build a few platforms around throughout. We have all kinds of funds to do, and we have a huge event coming in Saturday, April 26th, with the biggest open house that we're going to have for the Park District in the last 10 years. And we'll welcome the community to that event. So now I'm going to pass it on to JD so he can take it from there and explain to everybody what is it that we're doing there.
Because the Forest Therapy Park, you know, a lot of times on the Bill Klinger Trail, they have even asphalt or concrete or some kind of paved surface to make it easy to ride your bike, you know, everybody. But this forest trail is a little bit more primitive from what I understand.
Yeah, it's just sort of another way to kind of interact outdoors. And so it's a path you can walk through. It just, you know, has some mulch and you can kind of walk through and you're closer to nature. This whole movement started in Japan back in the 1970s. And over there it's called Shinrin-yoku. And it's basically a community health model. What they did was they combined neuroscience, public health, and basically the local culture and created this. And it came over to the United States in 2012, I believe, and it's renamed over there the Association of Nature Forest Therapy, and that's how this got certified. We went on and certified it. There are about 3,000 certified guides in the world. There are about 14 certified trails in the country, and Quincy will be the first one in the Midwest. The closest one is, I think, up in the Twin Cities, and then there's one down in Memphis. And sometimes it's referred to as forest bathing. That the reason they call it that is that when you walk through the forest, there's actually chemicals that the trees and the plants produce that we now know really affect your health in short-term and long-term ways. What it's not is a hike. You can walk through and do a hike, and it's not people get confused bathing. Do I go in and jump into a creek? No, you're kind of bathing in the forest, and there's really no wrong way to do this. So,
well, please bathe with your clothes on.
There you go.
There is no skinny dipping in the forest bath. Now, I'm looking forward. I have not been out. I live out in that direction. I live right on the Bill Klingner Trail, basically, and I saw that it's more primitive, and I'm like, what is that? What is that? And I'm going to go walk on it because I have done something kind of similar to this, and that was in Germany where they have these, they take all these trees, and you walk between these trees, and these trees have been actually, some of them, artificially coated with things, and then you go and sit in these rooms where you breathe certain air that comes from a mineral water that flows from the ground. It's all about natural homeopathic healing, and it's supposed to lower your blood pressure, bring you to center, calm you, and a walk in the forest, a forest bath, is a perfect calming event. And so I am so proud of the Quincy Park District in my hometown, because we have people coming all over for our fully accessible playground, and now we're building a second one. And now you're telling me that if I start driving, the first place I'll hit that has a forest therapy park is Memphis, Tennessee.
You got it.
So I think this is fantastic. Now, was this your idea and you came to the Park District, or was it the Park District's idea and they came to you?
This was a collaboration of the community. You know, there were really kind of five entities that kind of came through. It was the Park District. The University of Illinois Extension did a lot of work on it, and so did the Friends of the Trails with Mike Klinger did a huge deal. And really the health department became our main job is to keep your water clean and your food potable and that. But this is a big deal. What's happened in our country is that there's a big epidemic going on right now, and it's called the loneliness stress epidemic, and it's number one. The Surgeon General basically said that right now it's equivalent to every person in our country smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and this actually works on that. You kind of described the what we call the forest volatile organic compounds. That's the word we use. But it's essentially, the best way I can describe it is after a rainstorm, a lot of people will sort of smell this, like, really cool smell. That's called lemonine. And it's one of the things that absorbs in your body.
Repeat that?
Lemonine. L-E-M-I-N-O-E-N-E. Lemonine.
Then spell that again. I'm not getting it. L-E-M-I-N.
L-I-M-I-N-O-E-N-E. And another one called pinene, and that smells like the smell of the pine.
I'll take pinene. I can figure that one out.
And it calms you down, and it does a lot of things. It affects your mood, and it also affects something that this lady by the name of Elizabeth Blackhorse, she was a Nobel winner, and basically she talked about these things called telomeres, and these are what actually work at a cellular level, and they affect inflammation and aging. And we found a lot of this out through COVID. So a lot of this stuff's been around a long time. But basically, allopathic medicine has now started to look at it and say, hey, from our point of view, we agree with a lot of this stuff. And it's low cost. It works.
So you're a professor of medicine at SIU.
Yes, ma'am.
And, of course, sometimes the doctor says take a pill. You've got anxiety. You've got depression. You've got, you know, chronic pain that really is incurable. Some people call it fibromyalgia or something like that. You know, it's almost like I can't quite figure out what it is. I don't know how to make it go away. So why not? I mean, don't just stop taking your medication and go walk in the forest. But, you know, you could go out on the trail. It's at 3420 Cook's Lane. They have a parking lot there. So you can access the trail from there. Now, as you're winding and meandering on this trail, because 2,000 people have helped put this trail together, it is still very much, even though it's in the city, in the Park District city limits at least, it's very much kind of a wilderness. I mean, there's going to be a lot of bird life. There might be some animals that you see. It's not really, you kind of lose the thought that you're near a city like Quincy, don't you?
Yeah, you know, we call it somatic exercise. What it is you want to let your brain turn off. You know, what part of our health is that we have too much stimulation. And this is a way that you can just use your senses. So what it is it's a trail, but you don't have to follow the whole trail. You can just go to one part and say, I like that, and sit there for a while. And there's an invitation, and it's basically to kind of use your nose, your ears, your eyes to just appreciate things. And it's supposed to be enjoyable. That's the
right.
whole point.
Yeah. It's not an arduous hike.
Yeah.
It is a meandering path that you stroll through. If you want to walk briskly to get your heart rate up for health reasons, that's fine too. But we have plenty of trails for that. This is for relaxation, calming. Bring your yoga mat. Don't bring your yoga mat, because once I get down, I can't get up. Marcelo will be notified when I go on the trail, because...
Thank
Marcelo,
you for that.
If I get down, you've got to send a Park District truck ranger to come and get me up, okay? So I'll only do upward dog or whatever, okay?
Absolutely. You have my number.
Okay, I do have his number. I'm very good at corpse pose, by the way. It's just getting up from corpse pose. Now, this is fascinating that a medical doctor, who usually when we think of medical doctors, it's like, doctor, it hurts, take this pill. Doctor, I'm depressed, take this pill. Doctor, I have anxiety, take this pill. Now, obviously, there is still a place for pharmaceutical medicine, but this is first and foremost a preventative, because when we start feeling overwhelmed and lonely, now, ironically, we're not really going to go out there with a bunch of 50 people and sit around in a circle and sing Kumbaya, but in the forest, you're not really alone. You have the sounds of the birds, you have the butterflies at certain times of years. You know, you have the sound of other people maybe walking on a distant trail. What is it about it? You've mentioned that there is this chemical that's given off by the trees. There is the connection of your feet. Sometimes maybe even go barefoot, you know, and get your feet on the ground. There's all this connection to the earth. And the ancient medical practices were all about this holistic thing. So as a professor, you embrace this. I'm fascinated by that.
Well, allopathic medicine, it focuses on the individual. And we usually work on what we call tertiary prevention. In other words, we see people when a bone's sticking out or they have a heart attack the first time. So you got to be pretty aggressive. But it's almost like you buy a car and don't do anything to your car till the engine burns up, then we'll give you a new engine. What we're starting to kind of realize is that, and we're starting to, I think different parts of medicine are bleeding in, where it's better to do this prevention, and it's not even where you have to go somewhere to have prevention. It's better to do it yourself. So
it's the oil change.
It's
the regular maintenance.
And it's really part of public health. It really becomes our community. It's not so much the doctor. We'll do part of it, but what happens is our community heals itself. This is something, it's time's come. This time has come.
Well, this is great, and the fact that it is in Quincy, and it's open and welcoming people, and it's the only one of its kind from Memphis to the south, and where's the other one to the north?
St. Paul,
Minnesota?
Yes. A few out in California, you know.
So, first of all, congratulations. Like you said, it was a cooperative effort. Marcella, when you first heard about this, and you had to bring this to the board of the park board and everything, our park district seems to be very forward-thinking. Now, having said that, you're very conservative with your money. I mean, there's nobody tighter than the park district. I mean, you don't even think about going into debt. You don't think about going in the red. So when something like this comes forward, the great thing about this is it doesn't cost a whole lot of money to make this happen, does it? Because you got a lot of volunteers just to clear the trail, right?
That is correct. Probably 90% of the nature trail development that we have so far in the last 4 years has been supported by sponsorship, affiliates, and human capital. Everybody in the community have helped us to do this.
Okay.
The park district has equipment that we're able to use, and you know, heavy equipment, skisters, you know, trackers and whatnot, things of that nature. So park district staff have helped us gather the bigger parts, but it has been relatively inexpensive to do any of this, unlike, you know, developing Mormon Park or a soccer field or anything else. But the benefits reach, you know, every time that we have done on this. So
well,
we got great support from the board. Yeah. Everybody's excited about that as the community.
Because it's so natural. I mean, obviously, you don't want to move a lot of things around. You want to keep it in as natural a setting as is possible. And so I know, Marcelo, that you keep real good records of how many people use the parks, but it is hard in, you know, in a wilderness area. You do have trackers that show how many people, say, walk by a location. Have you done that on this East Trail?
So we haven't yet, because obviously the launch is going to happen now, just in the next few weeks. But we have hard data for all our parks since the last 2 years. For example, the Bell Crenshaw Trail, we have about 150,000 people a year. Mormon Park, which is really popular with all the sports, trails, biking, course, and volleyball. It's about 275,000 people a year that goes there. So we track anybody movements that's been there for more than 7 minutes. We have the data and we can report. And that's really helpful because we can bring more resources or develop other parks that are not so developed or not so busy. That's how we started putting pickleball courts in different areas in the neighborhoods. Johnson Park, Berry Inn, places there wasn't much activity. Now there's clubs, there's ladies, there's men.
Oh, yeah.
Any ages.
Berry Ann is popping. Yeah. I mean, Berry Ann Park pickleball courts are just being used all the time.
Yeah.
Johnson Park's been revived. Reservoir is still tennis, right? But there's plenty of people that still like to play tennis.
And in Reservoir, we put ghost lines, what it's called. So now people can bring their own portable nets and use them when nobody's playing tennis. So overall, information is power. Everything we gather, all the decisions that we make are based on information in the community. You're welcome to come to the board and pitch, you know, your wishes, and we think about it, we go from there, and that's how we have such a good affiliates and community. If you go to our website, quincyparkdistrict.com, we have a dashboard that actually shows all our sponsors, all affiliates, and everybody's been part of our lives for the last 50 years and see what is happening. So,
like Pepsi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great support.
Well, I want to close this out with Dr. Jim Daniels. I want you to walk me through. So I come to you, and I mean, we'll pretend you're just a regular old doctor, not some highfalutin professor. And I come to you, I say, I'm run down, I'm fatigued, I'm tired all the time, I'm mildly depressed, not terribly depressed, I get some anxiety, I'm just a blah mess. And you say, like my doctor says to me, do you exercise? Do you eat right? And I say, of course I don't do any of those things, fix me. And so this really is a very interesting first step. So when you say to people, or you prescribe to them, mm-hmm. to go out to the Forest Therapy Park at Nature Trails East, 3420 Cooks Lane, what do you tell them to do? Because everybody will be different. But talk about what you want them to experience and some of the wayside things that they can experience.
Two things. The first is to just do a little something every day. We call it a contemplative practice. Some people call it meditation. Some people call it prayer. Some people say playing with your dog. I say this is a nice contemplative practice to walk through. And if you just do that, you don't make it every day, it's okay. Do it. Second thing is connect. We're herd animals. So connect with people. Connect with nature. Connect with, you know, one person we have to mention, one very important part of this whole thing is Clutch the Wonder Dog. Clutch the Wonder Dog has been involved with the park district forever.
I'm not familiar with Clutch the Wonder Dog.
He's the man, and we even have out at the park a stick library for people to bring their dogs so they can have sticks to play with. I spilled the beans. I'm sorry, Marcel.
Yes, you have. We can talk more about that. Yes.
Oh, this is going to be a big rollout at the big adventure on April 26th. Okay, but Dr. Daniels ruined the surprise.
Because of Clutch. We got to mention Clutch, yeah. Mary.
Keep us all of us safe.
He does. He's the man.
He's the man. So the idea is you can interact with people who are out there, or you can be silent. You can go out there and walk for a little while. Sit, because you have places to kind of stop and pause, mm-hmm. listen, calm, regulate your breathing, get up, maybe go a little bit farther, go deeper into the woods experience, stop, regulate. You can also then, if somebody else is on the journey, maybe you will meet a new friend. Maybe there'll be somebody that, you know, together, because pets make our blood pressure better, friends make our blood pressure better, and outdoors and nature make our blood pressure better. So these are all things that we can do. Now, Clutch the Wonder Dog, does he live out there?
Um, Cl-
Tell me about Clutch. I'm sorry, he ruined the surprise, but you know me as a reporter. I've got to know about Clutch.
So Clutch is a 10-year-old border collie. It's owned by Matt Tobias. It's one of our development engineers that we have working with us, and it takes care of all the land management of the Park District Nature Trail projects. And Clutch has been keeping us safe for about 5 years. Every time we go in a place that we need to do some work, trees, you know, there's nuisance and everywhere. So every time there's a snake or a creature or something, we get alerted by him. And then that way we step back or we do whatever we have to do. And it's a great dog. It's helping us. We always have to throw the sticks for him because he's always on you all the time. But it's the most amazing company that we have over the years. And like I said, it's 10 years old, and it has motivated many of our community to get dogs just like him, the Border Collie or Australian Shepherds that look a lot alike. And many of the volunteers have adopted other dogs for the same reason. So Clutch, like I said, has been really good company for all of us.
Clutch the Wonder Dog.
Yes.
Well, the Park District encroaching on the libraries, you know, here the library gets their damn bookmobile, and they're so excited about it, and they're bringing it to Bob Mays Park to show it off on Tuesday night. But no, you have to open up your own library at the Park District with a stick library.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, now this is true. When my dad took care of his little great-nephew, they had park sticks in the back of Dad's car, and little Daniel Binkers, as we called him, every park he went to, he knew the stick for that park. And so when they went out to the deer park at the veterans home, Charlie would open the trunk, Binkers would get the stick for South Park. Then they'd go to, you know, Madison Park. Binkers would get the stick for Madison Park. And when they went to a new park, they couldn't leave until Binkers had a park stick, and he knew that was the stick for that park. Yeah. So
The stick library is open since the last week, and we have many items for to choose from, and people's already using. Thanks, JD, for bringing that up.
It's wonderful.
Yep. Yeah.
No card necessary.
No.
Okay.
If Pinkers has some leftover, you know, we'll take accepted ones like old books, old sticks, we'll take.
Okay, anything you can fetch. We love it. Marcelo, thank you for coming today. You're a first-time guest, and I don't know what's taken me so long to have you here, but I really do respect and admire everything you do to promote our park system, because we have one of the highest numbers ever for soccer players youth this year. The marina's back. It's a money loser, but that's okay. It's back. Westview Golf Course is doing great if we can get the sun to shine and get the water down. I mean, really, the park enjoyment is up in Quincy. And now we've got not only this all-accessible park down on the riverfront, but another one's going to be in Mormon Wavering. And it's the only one within 100 miles, and now we have two. And now we've got the only one on the Mississippi River between St. Paul and Memphis.
Yes.
So I think this is pretty darn wonderful. And thank you, Dr. Jim Daniels, for your part in this. Be sure to write that prescription. Why should Hy-Vee get all the pharmaceutical?
Yep.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah. When my husband goes to pick up my prescription, I'll say, by the way, my prescription is to walk on the trail. So he can, I'm too lazy. He can do it for me.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sounds great. Thank you very much. We will take a real quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about turkey hunting. You got it. That's another great outdoor activity. Well, we are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My next guest has waited patiently to get on the phone line, and we are going to talk today about a turkey hunt. Please introduce yourself to the WTAD audience and tell us all about what you're here to talk about, please.
Well, my name is Jason Vaughn, and I'm the Lewis County Conservation Agent, and I'm here today to talk to you about a youth turkey hunt that's happening this weekend in our area. And you know, it's pretty humbling to talk about this, because honestly I come to the event every year and give a talk, but there's really just so many volunteers and everything that makes this happen. But kind of what the event is, it will begin Friday night at 6 p.m. at the Crossing Church in Hannibal, right downtown there. And it's just a time where we can kind of come together, and the kids that are hunting that maybe needed help finding a spot to hunt or somebody to take them hunting, they'll get to meet their guides that night. But everybody is welcome to come to that. I know I'll be bringing my daughter down there. And some of the coolest activity that night is, of course, the headline speaker, Billy Yargis, world champion turkey caller. He'll give a talk on just, you know, turkey hunting, turkey calling, real interesting every year, real good speaker. And then he also just kind of talks about his life a little bit and delivers a pretty powerful message. And then the not quite as interesting talk and presenter would, of course, be myself, as I'll be there that evening and also kind of give a talk on just turkey hunting and being safe in the woods and talking to the kids about being safe. And then also that night they'll do some prize drawings. And I've been to this event several years, and I've yet to see a kid walk away without getting some kind of call or shirt or some kind of hunting apparel. So it's an excellent thing for the kids to come to and just learn about turkey hunting that night.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know that we have the world champion turkey caller right there in Hannibal. And so I always tease, well, if he's so good, how come on that night when he has that event, how come there aren't turkeys just flocking all over then, you know, Central Park, if he's so good at calling? But I guess when he's inside the building, they can't hear him, right?
Yeah, he may be a world champion, but that he's probably even limited by his skills with that. But if anybody could call one inside the Crossing Church, it would probably be Billy. Yeah, absolutely.
He is great. Well, again, let's repeat the time and the place, because we want to move on and we want to talk more, but I want to make sure everybody gets the time and the place.
Yep, that night it will be 6 p.m. down in Hannibal at the Crossing Church is when that will begin.
And
yep.
That's Saturday night.
That is Friday night.
Friday
Saturday,
night. Okay.
Yep.
Saturday's
Saturday,
the hunt.
Yep. Saturday, all the kids will go out with either, you know, that's kind of the neat thing about it. They'll go out with the people that, you know, Billy and Ralph and a lot of the volunteers have set them up with, or even a lot of kids like my children, for example. I have a place to take them. I take them, but they still attend this event just to enjoy the fellowship and camaraderie with other hunters and stuff. And that really comes into play Saturday in Maywood, Missouri. And the easiest way is just to say it is at Ralph's house. And trust me, people listening, if you go to Maywood, you will be able to find this. Maywood is a small town. It's where I grew up. And you'll never see so many vehicles in that town that day as there is that day. You will not miss it if you just drive to Maywood. But there'll be a lunch at noon that, again, a lot of volunteers and a lot of people provide. And it's just kind of a time where everybody can come together and share their stories from the morning.
Yeah, so this is a Friday night event indoors, kind of teaching, like you said, safety. Very important for first-time or junior hunters, even if you've been out a couple of times, to kind of go over the rules again. Learn about the calls, and then, of course, some of the kids will get turkey calls as a door prize. That's kind of cool. Then they go out hunting with their guide. And many people do not have access to hunting land. And so this is a really big thing, Mr. Vaughn. They just don't have access. And so it's kind of late in the day. Could we still get involved in this, or should we be looking, if you haven't already signed up, mark your calendars for next year?
I mean, I would encourage, and I'll give a number right now, and I'll kind of talk for a minute before I give the number. If you're still wanting to sign up for this, I think they would still take you, and I will give Ralph's and Billy's number in just a second, kind of giving everybody a second to get a pen if they need it. As far as being able to find spots or anything, I don't know. It may be late in the game for that, but I can tell you I know these gentlemen would do anything they can to try to help, and I'll give you them numbers right now. Ralph's number is 217-430-4904. And Billy's number is 573-795-6972. And, you know, if nothing else, people could still definitely come to the event tomorrow night, come to the lunch on Saturday, kind of learn about turkey hunting. And just like I said, how my family's involved in it, just sharing the fellowship and camaraderie with, you know, with other people that enjoy the outdoors. That's one of the coolest things. And I forgot to mention on Saturday, there'll also be giveaways on Saturday. Last I heard, they were up to 18 guns donated that they're going to give away to the kids for, you know, future turkey hunts that they get to go on.
Well, this is fantastic, and I know your publicist, Doug Vaughn, is very proud of you, and very proud of this event. The Northeast Missouri Turkey Hunters put this on every year. Come on Friday night at 6 o'clock to the Hannibal Crossing. We're going to give you those numbers again. They can squeeze you in. That's a pretty big place. And then Saturday, there's the hunt. Now, again, maybe you can get on that. Maybe you can't. But you can always come to lunch in Maywood at noon. That's all, you know, provided and everything. This is a great charity event, a great event to get, you know, hunting arsenal in kids' hands, teach them how to call turkeys, if nothing else, just for the own beauty of watching the birds, if even if you don't want to take a shot at them. But, you know, you might be able to put the big bird on your Thanksgiving table if you really try. So those numbers again are 217-430-4904. 217-430-4904. 573-795-6972. Thank you so much for calling today and helping us learn a little bit about more about this. We really appreciate your time, and I hope you have the best of luck at this event tomorrow night and Saturday. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. This is a great event. I know a lot of the guys that are involved in this, even though I'm not a turkey hunter, they really care about youngsters, and they want to encourage sports shooting, and they also want to encourage hunting to manage, you know, those animals on our lands. We've got to take a break. Late for the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Hopefully the markets have turned around and we've got a big winning streak on our hand in the farm markets. We'll be up at the Ursa Farmers Cooperative in just a moment. But first, here's a note from Corteva, your sponsor. It is 51 degrees. We are just 6 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. So many great things happening in our community. Last night at the Quincy Park District, I heard that on the grounds of the Lorenzo Bull Home, that's the house there at 16th and Main. They used to be called the Women's City Club. It is actually Park District owned and operated by volunteers. It is the Lorenzo Bull Home, and they're going to have a big Dogwood Festival party before the parade, during the parade, and after the parade. They're going to have a big party. In fact, I heard last night they said they're going to bring in 6 carnival rides. So remember when Dogwood Festival used to have a little carnival downtown? Well, they're going to have a carnival there at 16th and Main. Isn't that going to be great? I mean, that's going to be fantastic. And they're going to have the bleachers set up, and they're going to have, like, I think they said 8 food trucks are going to be out there on Saturday, so you can get breakfast, you can watch the parade, you can get lunch. Then the Art Center, which is right behind them, they are going to have this downtown art crawl where they're going to have little pop-up venues all over the place where you can look at local artists and buy the local artist stuff. So there's just a whole lot going on in Quincy. Well, we've got a few minutes left, and if somebody is listening and you have something on your mind and you'd like to get it off your chest, we're open now. Open phones, 223-9300, 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. Is there anything you'd like to talk about? You've only got 2 minutes, but for 2 minutes, you can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. So that was one of the things I was excited about to learn last night, because I knew that all this stuff was going on for Dogwood Festival, but it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and better and better. And so that is really exciting. And of course, if you were listening this morning, you heard about the Quincy Symphony. It's their last concert of the season for their season. However, they will be back in concert May 10th as part of a group ensemble for the Adams County Bicentennial. We had already had one musical showcase, and now we're having another one that's even bigger on May 10th. But this Saturday at Junior High Auditorium, and they've changed the time. They listened to some of their patrons who said 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday is so close, we can't get to church. A lot of people go to church on Saturday night. Could you push that back? So they have. They've pushed it back to 2:30 in the afternoon. They do listen. when you ask and request. This is going to be a tribute to American composers, and it's going to have one of our local great photographers, Tony from Tiger Imagery, Tony Taylor from Tiger Imagery. And she took a beautiful, beautiful, couple of beautiful shots of my husband and I on our honeymoon. Just casual shots. We were all on a trip together. And I still have them in my bedroom or in my living room. They're just beautiful. I mean, it's amazing when you have the talent. I can't take a picture, but, you know, she can really take a picture. So that is something that is really cool. Now, tomorrow on the Mary Griffith Show, of course, we've got our firefighters coming in. And then the Easter Bunny is going to make a special appearance at WTAD. At least that's what he has told me. It's a boy Easter Bunny coming to WTAD tomorrow. And then we're going to talk about an Easter egg hunt at Jensen Woods Camp, which is up in by Timewell, Illinois. So there's just all kinds of great things going on the Mary Griffith Show. And if you would like to be part of what is happening on the Mary Griffith Show, all you have to do is drop me a line or give me a call and say, I'd like to be on the program. And by golly, we can make it happen. So enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be back to do it again tomorrow.